You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
For those of you who've been here recently at Trinity over the last few weeks, you'll know that we're in the book of Acts. But if you're one of our Trinity kids or Trinity youth from downstairs, or you're visiting us, you might not be so familiar with what we've been doing. So I'm just going to give you a heads up as to where we're up to. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's been travelling around the Mediterranean Sea, telling people the good news about the Lord Jesus. And he's been on three long missionary journeys. And our passage today comes at the end of the third one of those journeys, okay? Last week, in Acts chapter 20, we were learning from Paul's address to the Ephesian elders, just as he said goodbye to the Ephesians, how they needed to watch out for opposition, especially, interestingly, from inside the church. Now, after leaving Ephesus, we read in the early part of Acts 21, which we're not going to read today, but you could read at home, we read that Paul travels from Ephesus to Jerusalem. And we're going to watch a short video from a series called What's in the Bible, which is great. It does have puppets, so beware. But the video helps to summarize where we're up to in today's passage and talks of Paul's three missionary journeys. So have a look on the screen. Whew. Wow. So as you see at the start of Acts 21, we see him covering the last part of that third missionary journey where he finishes up in Jerusalem. Okay. And as Paul traveled in all of those different places, he taught lots and lots of different people about Jesus. People from lots and lots of different backgrounds. Now, when Paul got to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21, we read in verses 17 to 26, again, we're not going to look at that today, but we read how Paul met James. James was the leader of the Christian Jews in Jerusalem. And Paul, he goes to ritually purify himself in the temple. But then, in verses 27 to 36, we see how many of the Jews in Jerusalem didn't welcome Paul. They didn't want him there, and they falsely accused him. Paul faced a lot of opposition when he got back to Jerusalem at the end of this third journey. In fact, we read in verse 32 that he was terribly beaten. The Roman commander came to restore the peace. He arrested Paul and he sent him to the army base called the barracks, where he would be safe. And that's where we get to the start of today's reading, which Jane is going to come and bring to us. Thanks very much, Jane. So we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 21, from verse 37, on page 1119. Thanks, Jane. That's brilliant.
As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the desert some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." Having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, Suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. "What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said, "and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking. "Quick," he said to me, "leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me." "Lord," I replied, "these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Then the Lord said to me, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live." This is the word of the Lord.
Now, I don't know if any of you used to play this game when you were growing up, or perhaps with children or with grandchildren. There are, around the room, 10 guess who faces. So, they need bringing to the front. So if you could find one, if you're Trinity kids, you want to help us out, find one of the pictures and bring them to the front. There should be 10 of them. If they're a bit high, you might have to ask for some help. Well done. Stick it to the wall, Joel. Just there. Good lad. That's Susan. She's got white hair. No, just on here, love. It will stick. There we go. Brilliant. Well done. Who have you got, Toff? Richard. Balding, got a beard. Great. Well done. Down you go. Lydia, stick it on there. Well done. Just help me. That's Alex. Got a moustache. Brown eyes. Well done, Toff. Here we go. Whoa, you've got loads. Wow, we've got Claire here. Kind of crazy looking hat. It's good. Alfred, red hair, beard. Kind of a grumpy resting face. Anne. Big earrings, dark curly hair. Here we go. Max, again, moustache, big eyebrows. Who else have we got? Peter, white hair, blue eyes. There might be a couple more somewhere, but that doesn't matter. One more, Alex. There we go, he's fallen off. Now, why have we got all those different faces on there? Because it's just a simple way of showing that regardless what you look like, what background you come from, the colour of your skin, whether you're male, whether you're female, we're going to see today that the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus, who he is and what he's done, is good news for everyone. It's good news for Jews and it's good news for Gentiles. Now, who are the Jews? Well, the Jews are God's special covenant people. the nation of Israel that God made special promises to in the Old Testament, that he would be their God and that they would be his people. Simply speaking, when Paul was alive, a Jew was someone from the nation of Israel. We're going to see this morning that the gospel is good news for Jews. We're also going to see that the gospel is good news to Gentiles. What is a Gentile? A Gentile is simply anyone who is not a Jew. Okay? The gospel is good news for Jews and Gentiles. And we're going to see why. Now, once Paul has been arrested, as we saw in our reading, he asks if he can speak to the crowd. The Roman commander who's arrested him, he doesn't know who Paul is, and he's mixed him up with someone else who he thought was an Egyptian terrorist. Paul puts him right. And let's have a look at what the first thing that Paul tells him is. So have your Bibles open to page 1119, Acts chapter 21, verse 39. Kids, it's on your sheet as well, towards the top. What's the first thing Paul tells him? Look at verse 39. Just got on the right page myself. Paul answered, "I am a Jew." The first thing that Paul tells him is that he's a Jew. Now, remember, we're thinking that the gospel is good news for Jews. Well, Paul was one of those. He was a Jew. And he's given permission to speak, and he spoke to the Jewish crowds. Remember, he's in Jerusalem, and they're not happy. He spoke to the crowds in a language they could understand and would have been comfortable with. He speaks to them in Aramaic. And then look how he addresses the crowd in verse 21. He calls them brothers and fathers. That's an affectionate term, isn't it? Paul wants the crowd to know that in many ways he's just like them. Let's have a look at verse 3. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born of Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished." Paul was definitely, undoubtedly, a Jew. In Philippians chapter 3, we read that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He couldn't be any more Jewish. But look, Paul wants the crowd to see that the gospel that he's been traveling around to share is good news for Jews. And then Paul goes on to give his testimony, doesn't he? His unique story of how he came to have faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's have a look at verse 6. You might be familiar with this. "About noon, as I came near Damascus," Paul says, "suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me." Now, how do we know that the gospel is good news for Jews? Well, it's because Jesus, God himself, speaks to Paul, a Jew. This was part of God's plan. Paul had been spoken to directly from heaven by the risen Lord Jesus. That must have been an amazing encounter. Once blinded, Paul asks, "What should I do?" And in verse 11, he's told to go to Damascus, isn't he? And in verse 12, look out. Look who Paul points out he meets with. Look at verse 12. "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there." He met Ananias, didn't he? Who was a Jew? He was a devout or serious observer of the law, and he was respected by all the Jews living there. Paul is trying to really clearly communicate to the crowds in Jerusalem that the gospel is good news for Jews. He's not trying to rubbish them or their faith. Rather, he wants to show them that their faith in the Lord Jesus is what their Jewish faith is meant to point them to, that Jesus is the fulfillment of their faith. And then look at what Ananias tells Paul in verses 14 to 16. Verse 14, then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." Basically, Ananias tells Paul the good news of the Jews. What he means by saying the God of our fathers. The one true God has chosen Paul to be his witness to, did you see in verse 15? To all men. That basically means everyone. And so in verse 16, Paul is baptized, showing that he has his sins washed away as he calls on the name of Jesus. Do you remember a few minutes ago we sang Luke chapter 19, verse 10? The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We're told here in Acts 22 that Paul, a Jew, was lost. He needed his sins washed away. And praise God, because of Jesus, what he did on the cross, he can have his sins washed away, as was shown by his baptism. Paul, a Jew, was lost, but now he was found. He was blind, but now he sees. And Paul is desperate for those that he was speaking to see that the gospel is good news for Jews. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe that too? Do you believe that the gospel is good news for Jews? It's great, isn't it, having Mandy with us each week? There we go. Someone from a Jewish background who knows and loves and trusts the Lord. That is brilliant, isn't it? But can I ask you a question, Christian here this morning? When was the last time you prayed for more Jews to come to faith in the Lord Jesus? That's a challenging question, isn't it? I've had to stop and think about that myself this week as I've been preparing. Parents, do we pray with our children for Jews to come to love and know the Lord Jesus? Because we should be praying for that, shouldn't we? Because the gospel is good news for Jews. Let's pray too for organizations like Jews for Jesus, who do a great job in reaching out to the Jewish community with the good news of the gospel. And not only is Paul spoken to on his way to Damascus by the Lord Jesus, he's also spoken to by the Lord Jesus in verses 18 and 21 in Jerusalem. The Lord tells Paul to leave Jerusalem because people wouldn't accept his testimony about himself there. And look what Jesus calls him to in verse 21. It's on the screen. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" Paul was to take the gospel message of the good news about Jesus that is in him and him alone, that he's the only one who can wash our sins away. Paul was to take that message to the Gentiles. Who's that? Well, remember, it's anyone who isn't a Jew. Friends, the gospel is good news for Jews and Gentiles. This is a constant message we get all the way through the scriptures. So look at this verse from Romans chapter 1. Again, it's on the screen. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." This is what we've been seeing, isn't it, through the whole book of Acts, on all those journeys of Paul's that we've seen in the video. In all of those places, both Jews and Gentiles come to faith in the Lord Jesus because the gospel is good news for Jews and for Gentiles. Now, sadly, in verse 22, we see the hardness of heart of the crowds because they hate the idea that there could be good news for Gentiles. They hated that idea because they hadn't recognized who the Lord Jesus was. They didn't understand the gospel, and so they rejected the good news that was on offer to them. In the following verses and chapters, in the book of Acts, as the book draws to a close, and as we're going to look at over the coming weeks, we see the many trials and challenges that Paul faces because of his faith in the Lord Jesus, and because he so firmly holds to the fact that the gospel is good news for Jews and Gentiles. So just as we come to a close this morning, can I ask, have you accepted that gospel message of good news for yourself, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, that you can have your sins washed away only by the blood of Jesus? It is good news for you that there is forgiveness for your sins available. Christian, here this morning, can you pray for Jews to come to know and love the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Saviour? Can you pray for Gentiles to come to love and know the Lord Jesus as his Lord, as their Lord and Saviour? We've had these out before in the past, but maybe you've lost yours or you've never used one before. These five in focus postcards that are on your rows, or there's plenty more on the table at the back, can help you to pray for five people who perhaps don't yet know the good news of the Lord Jesus. Can I challenge you to take that home and to think of five people that you could pray for and then use it? And then, just as we finish off, there are five flags dotted around the church. Can we bring those five flags up to the front? If you're a grown-up near one, feel free to bring it as well. Oh, steady on. That's it. That's it. Well done. And we'll see where these flags are for. Liz, there's one down that side. If you just, oh, that's it. Well done. Thanks, Monty. Right, let's see. Here we go, Monty. Monty, do you know where that flag's from? Let's see. Have you got them, boys? Yeah, cool. Right, here we go. Oh, I think Mum and Dad know. Yeah, go. Go and see your dad. He's going to tell you the answer. You can have a think if you know where that flag's from. But in?
Iran.
That's right. Sorry, Basil, I don't need that. That's fine. It's fine. Yeah, thanks. Iran. Now, how can we here in Buxton get the good news of the gospel? There is good news for the Gentiles in Iran. How can we do that? Well, we support mission partners Paul and Helen Hutchinson through Neighbours International and WEC down in Derby, who work with many Iranian migrants who come to Derby. We're involved in that. That's brilliant. Okay, next one. You, okay, thanks, Monty. Anybody know where that flag's from?
Argentina.
Sorry, you're Gus.
Argentina.
Close. Actually, not close, but it's a good try. Derbyshire. It's the Derbyshire flag. Yeah. It is, honestly, it is. I've got one. Anyway, this is the Derbyshire flag. We're involved in taking the good news of the gospel to Jews and Gentiles in Derby. It's our job. Brilliant. Well done. Thank you. Okay. Toff, do you know where that's from? Where is Nicola? Nicola, are you here today? Yes, Nicola, where's that flag? Yes, it is. Yes, Nicola went there earlier in the year. This is the Belgian flag because we support mission partners in Belgium, the Bellis family, who are planting a church to take the good news of the gospel to Jews and Gentiles who live in Belgium. We are partnering with them in that work. Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Me.
You, that's right. Here we go.
Is it Asia?
Good try. It's a country beginning with E, Clive.
Egypt.
Yes, Clive was born in Egypt. Well done, thanks, Joel. Egypt. Egypt? How are we involved taking the good news of the gospel to Egypt? Oh, we support Middle East media, don't we, that are there working to share the gospel in Arabic countries through media, sharing the good news of the gospel to Jews and Gentiles in that region. There is also an Indonesian flag somewhere, which is red on one half, white on the bottom. Indonesia. Who do we support in Indonesia? Sorry, who'd you say? The Days? No, they're in Thailand. I didn't bring a Thai flag. I know. I've got that written down here. Thai. Yeah. Who do we support working in Indonesia? The Sevens. Well done. Paul and Helen. John and Lois Seven, who are involved in translating the good news of the gospel to people in Indonesia. We have a part to play, don't we, in sharing this good news to Jews and Gentiles. And we must pray and support those people in that work. Now, Oh, you got it, Mick. Well done. Souvenir for you. You can keep it. Brilliant. Let's pray for people to accept the good news of the gospel. We read time and time again, don't we, in Acts, unlikely people who it seems like will never turn or put their trust in the Lord Jesus. We read of many unlikely people putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. So let's not write folks off, whether they're Jews or they're Gentiles. Let's pray for them to accept this good news. Let's do that now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that the gospel is good news for Jews and Gentiles. Thank you, Lord, that that has been your plan from before the beginning of time. And thank you that through your grace and your mercy, you have drawn us into it. Help us, Lord, and our mission partners too, to be active in sharing our faith. Lord, that we might come to understand every good thing that we have in Christ, and that more people in this town, in this area, and in this world might put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.